to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. As always, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith on a Saturday. Hey, Zach, why is it late? It's usually on Thursday edition. Shut up. I don't know. I am excited to be here with you finally to talk about NXT this week. Probably overall an inconsequential episode of NXT, but still a very fun episode of NXT, which we will certainly take. Now, before we get started, you can always find me on Twitter. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. You can also check out the rest of the great podcast here on the unofficial WWE Podcast Network. Just the other week, Matt and I did a weekly roundup where we talked about Raw and SmackDown, some NXT, some of everything. It was a lot of fun, so if you haven't checked that out, please go and check that out. Now, as you know, here on the NXT Podcast, we have a segment that we call News, which is news with an exclamation mark at the end. And what it is, it's a carefully researched and curated list of news that I have done work on. And it's certainly not me typing WWE into Google, then hitting the News tab and just reacting to what's on there, because that would be unprofessional. But if you were to do that, you'd see that, you'd see not a lot's going on. Love for Tamina pours in after she finally captures WWE gold. Her and Natalya won the women's tag titles for some reason. That's cool, man. I'm happy for her. She is a wrestler that I don't know how far she would have gone if she had never gotten hurt, but she did. And so between age in the ring and injuries, she's just real slowed down, but you can still use her as a monster. I don't think she's ever going to be women's champion, nor do I necessarily think her character should be at the moment. But it's cool that she got to win the titles with somebody who probably is a friend in Natalya, and I'm glad that she's getting love for that. As a WWE stock report, Mia Yim is still nowhere to be seen. Mia Yim not being anywhere to be seen is a great thing, because that means she's not being seen with Retribution, and no matter what Mustafa Ali says on podcast, Retribution is not deep. There's not a greater story. There's not a bunch of meaning behind it. There might be for him, but there's not for like the company or the way they present it, or the way they've dealt with it. So that's cool. So anybody who can get away from that is doing well just by not being in it. Mercedes Martinez got away from it, went back to NXT. She's doing a lot better. Hopefully Mia Yim is being brought either to NXT or to the main roster just as Mia Yim, because Retribution is going nowhere. So that's good. WWE hot take. Keith Lee is the secret weapon to saving Raw on the road to SummerSlam. I mean, that's accurate. That's true. He's important. He could be the secret weapon, certainly. He came out and had a great debut, faced Randy Orton, was in the mix with Drew McIntyre, blah, blah, blah. And then Vince McMahon or somebody decided that he needed to go back and learn to work, because this person who's been working professionally for years and years and years doesn't quite match that WWE style. And no matter how many people don't match that WWE style who are fantastic wrestlers, they never think that maybe we should open up our programming to different kind of styles. They think, nope, because you can't work our style, you suck and you need to go get better. But you need to go get better at our style specifically. It's not a you need to just get better in general thing, because there's not a lot of holes in Keith Lee's game. anybody can improve, anybody can get better. But Keith Lee was already really, really good. The only reason I can think that he would need to go back to training is because he doesn't work the WWE style. So that's more of an indictment on the WWE style than anything. So that's cool. Jerome Young, a.k.a. New Jack, passes away. Oh, that sucks. He was 58. New Jack was an insane person. And that was a lot of his appeal. And he was a different kind of dude, man. He is a dude that lived some life. And listen, there's stories about New Jack, but certainly somebody who had a really good story. I would recommend you go and watch that Dark Side of the Ring that they did about New Jack. They interview him, they go over some stories, the mass transit incident, so on and so forth. It's a very interesting watch. Sportster says, 8 times WWE treated their wrestlers poorly. There's so many more than 8. So that's an almost incalculable number of people that they have treated poorly. Randy Orton says, John Cena and Batista use WWE, quote, as a jumping board for Hollywood. He says he thinks he's happy with his place in the company. I don't know if he meant that as a slight or if he's just comparing himself to John and Batista. It's probably what it is. I love wrestling. If you can use WWE as a jumping board to some place that will be better working conditions and maybe provide some health care, you absolutely should. WWE markets itself as a family, and Vince McMahon is like everybody's dad. And there's a reason for that. And it's not because their, you know, culture is so good, or they, you know, believe in family and family values and they think it makes the product stronger. That might be what they say outwardly. But the reason that WWE does that, and heads up, a reason that a potential employer might do that, is because it creates a system in which you almost owe them. Well, if we're family and this is your surrogate dad, then you want to help them out. You want to work hurt. You want to work more dates and spend time away from your family. Not only because you love wrestling and this is your passion, but because this is a family and they set it up so that you feel like you're letting your family down if you don't help, not realizing that it's not a family. Whoever you work for right now is not your family. If you were to get fired tomorrow, you wouldn't hear from a lot of those people again. And that's fine. But don't treat a job like a family, because that's simply not what it is. As somebody who has been fired from a job and left a job and kept almost no friends from either of those, just understand that if a company keeps pushing that family thing, there's a reason for it. That's the same one that'll ask you to come in on all your days off, and if you do it once, they'll ask you to do it all the time. Now, for some people like John Cena or Hulk Hogan, they're slotted as the top person, so you can understand that. But for John Cena or Batista, when they are older, there's no reason to stick around. But I'm sure that they had to tell them no a million times. Goldberg's still coming back. Goldberg does that for the money, but also because, hey, we're a family here. Why don't you just come in and do this? So yeah, John Cena and Batista ended up using WWE as a springboard. I don't know that they were going, that was the plan initially, but they absolutely should have. Use your employer as a paycheck and as a stepping stone to something better. Don't ever feel like you have to stay in one place because it's a family and it's who you are and blah, 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 blah. That's news. We're going to talk about NXT. We have a recap of last week. The women's NXT tag titles go to Candice and Indy in a street fight. If I remember, it was a good match, but again, those NXT women's titles don't mean anything. They're not going to. I mean, down the road, maybe, but they don't have that many women's tag teams, I don't think. So like that are going to continue to be tag teams. And it, the title started as such a joke with that bad main roster women's tag title match. And then the champions were gifted the titles, lost them in the same night. It's just, there's a deep hole to dig those titles out of. Tonight, we'll get Kushida defending the Cruiserweight title against Santos Escobar. That's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match. That's going to be really good. Also, Raquel Gonzalez defends the NXT Women's title against Mercedes Martinez. I'm not sure why it's Mercedes Martinez, like storyline-wise, but here we are. They kind of had everybody go against Io Shirai, and then now that Raquel's the champion, they're kind of just going to, I guess, have to recycle the same people, which that's okay to a degree. You want to see newer people in there as well, but you're building up Raquel right now as your new champion, so that's cool. Karrion Kross is also taking on Austin Theory. Austin and Johnny took out Karrion Kross last week, so he's going to be mad. Seems like we're actually going to start with that because Johnny and Austin Theory are already in the ring. A reminder that Johnny is still your NXT North American champion. It is easy to forget at times, but he is. Karrion Kross basically throws Austin all around the ring for a few minutes. He hits that club to the back of the head, which is his finisher. I don't know if it has a name. And then he gets on top of Theory and continues to club him in the back of the head. He stares at Johnny and puts a rear naked choke on Austin Theory for the win. Now, that was not much of a match at all, but it didn't need to be. There's a different universe in which this is a really fun match where Austin Theory is underhanded and gets help from Johnny to get something of an advantage on him. And Austin Theory's really good in the ring. It's really easy to forget that because he's just a dumb guy now. But he is, and Karrion Kross is capable of working up to the level of his opponent. I don't know yet whether he's the kind of guy you put a newer person in with, like, to carry a match, but I do know he's gone against Keith Lee and let's see, Damian Priest and Santos Escobar, and he's held his own. So there's a world where this is a really fun match that Karrion Kross wins, but that's not the world that we are presently in this world, because he's NXT champion and because they don't really have plans for Austin Theory at the moment. He just wallops him. So he's staring at Johnny. I wonder if we're setting up for Johnny to eventually take on Karrion Kross for that NXT title once Karrion Kross beats Finn or Kyle or Pete. like at some point, Johnny's going to lose that title. I don't think it's going to be to Bronson Reed, but I don't know. But maybe he's going to lose that title and eventually go on to face Karrion Kross, because that would be a pretty good match if they can, you know, make it, if they give Johnny a chance to kind of be underhanded and get advantages, because, like, size-wise, that's no contest, but Johnny's fantastic. But we have a close shot of Karrion Kross and Scarlett, and then the camera pans over his shoulder and Finn Balor's in the ring. This is the same thing they did when Finn was the champion and Karrion Kross was behind him. That's a cool shot. Finn says he doesn't wait in lines. He wants his rematch. Kross says he wants it too, so let's do this. Finn says, you're on. Book it. So it looks like it'll actually be Finn taking on Karrion for that NXT title. That's absolutely the best match that they could have done of the three of them. It is odd that last week, Finn and Kyle and Pete were all fighting, saying that they should be the ones to challenge Karrion Kross next. And then Finn just kind of comes out the next week and says, nope, it's me. And Pete and Kyle are just cool with that. That's weird that we spent that whole segment like a Raw last week where everybody kept interrupting each other. And then we just kind of said, forget it, it's going to be Finn. I thought we were going to do like a triple threat between the three of them, and the winner gets to go on. I don't know why you would set it up that way if you weren't going to do that. Seems like we either could have done that or save time and not have the Raw segment last week, but that's fine. So we're getting Finn and Karrion Kross. So Johnny Gargano's in the back again to Regal's office. Regal says, what a surprise. He said, I actually don't have a meeting and I left the door open for you. Johnny says, you're making me fight Bronson Reed next week. Austin Theory gets thrown into the wolves. He thinks Regal hates him. He says, I don't hate you. The marketing team made you your own headband. You're the North American champion, but you are going to face Bronson Reed next week. Johnny's going to grab something off of Regal's desk. I don't know what it was. It was something that's probably important and on a stand, but for the life of me, I could not figure out what it was. He's staring at Regal, and he goes to reach for it, and Regal says, don't you touch that. And Johnny thinks about it and then stares at him again and then grabs the pencil out of Regal's hand and breaks it over his knee and leaves. That was funny. That got me. Regal is the best general manager that I can remember in a really, really long time because he's really good at being serious. He's really good at being angry. And he's really good at being like a grumpy old dad. He's also really good at being the straight man in comedic segments. And this is working really well with Johnny. We get a graphic that says it's actually in 2 weeks that Karrion Kross will defend that NXT title against Finn Balor. So I guess in NXT, if the champion accepts a match, then it's just law, because you would think that Pete or Finn would be upset about that, but there's nothing they could do, so what are we doing? Mercedes Martinez is out first for that NXT Women's title match. Mercedes is a very good wrestler who's very experienced. And boy, thank goodness she got out of that Retribution story. I remember when Retribution first came up, Mercedes Martinez was a part of that group. Then 1 week she disappeared because allegedly she went and said, hey, don't want to do this. Can I go back to NXT? Pretty please. And presumably people on the main roster didn't really know who she was, because why would you? It's not WWE. So they let her. And now she's just back in NXT. I know that I mention that story every time I see her, but good God, she was smart to just come back to NXT. Mace and T-Bar are their own, I guess, tag team now with weird makeup. I don't know what's going on with the rest of Retribution. Can't remember his name. One of them, and Mustafa Ali and Mia Yim, are just kind of in limbo now because I don't know if Mace and T-Bar are still with them or what, but I hope not. I hope they just blow this whole thing up and let everybody go their separate ways, because this whole thing has been a joke. Again, to reuse this, there's a world in which this is a really fun storyline, and you can make stars out of all these people and have a different kind of main roster debut, because everybody from Retribution was either an NXT person, or in Mace's case, he was a Raw announcer, and then he went back to train to continue to be a wrestler. So there's a world in which you make Mustafa Ali look more important and give him different dimension to his character, because he's good enough to be a champion in WWE. They're just never going to let him do that. And at the same time, you build up all of these NXT people and you introduce them to the mainstream audience, and you give them a chance to operate in a group where you can afford to make more mistakes. But what they did is they made it a laughingstock from day one, and now it doesn't matter. So Raquel's out next. Mercedes is going to lose, but this will be a good match. And what do you know, after a good amount of time, Gonzalez lifts Mercedes up for that one-arm powerbomb and wins. They are calling it a powerbomb, so it is, in fact, a powerbomb. It's not as good as Rhea Ripley and Mercedes Martin, or Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez was, but it was fine to set up Raquel as the champion. I'm not sure what you do with Mercedes Martinez now. Not that she like should have won, but like as a character, but we'll have to keep an eye on her to see. I didn't see Dakota Kai this whole time, but now Dakota Kai's in the ring. She's still hanging around Raquel. I'm sure that'll come around eventually. Maybe when Raquel turns to a good guy, I'm not sure. Or maybe Dakota will turn into a good guy when Raquel attacks her. I don't know, but I know that they're probably not going to stay friends forever, because this is WWE. Isaiah Swerve Scott is arriving with his posse. He's going to be up next. I really hope we do more with this version of Swerve. Again, I know I say this every week, but he's so good. He could be NXT champion and be believable and really good. The promo ability's there. The matches are there. The it factor's there. The main roster, probably going to be no good because I don't trust them, and they won't see it because their eyes are broken. Maybe it's not that everybody you come across doesn't have it. Maybe it's that you don't have it and you can't identify that, but NXT can do it. Before they air come out, we cut to the back, and Bronson Reed's been taken out in the locker room by Austin Theory and Johnny. Bronson Reed was dressed to wrestle. I don't know why, but they attack him, setting that up for next week. Bronson Reed said that Johnny is a dead man. Swerve is alone on the entrance ramp. He says, it's about to get real spooky here in NXT. I did not know what that meant. But then the video comes up for Hit Row. So Hit Row is going to be the name of the group. That's a cool name. I dig that. So at the beginning of this, I wrote that I don't know any of these people. I do now. But having your own group is a really good way to make someone feel important. It's good to have a group around you. You don't want to overuse it. Like some of the criticism for AEW, for example, is that there's a lot of groups or a lot of factions, and it loses some meaning when you have too many. And that's fair enough, but use selectively. Like Santos Escobar feels more important because he has Legado del Fantasma. So you can absolutely give somebody a group, and it just makes them feel like more right out the gate. Swerve has a very punchable face, which is one of the best compliments I can give for a bad guy. He gets this smirk on his face, and you can tell he's just laughing at you specifically. It makes you want to punch him, which is like bad guy 101. They bring a red chair in for Swerve to sit on. I love that he can't just sit in a normal chair. Swerve also talks about himself in the third person. What a jerk. He's so good at this. He said the biggest mistake Swerve made is he was trying to be someone they wanted him to be. Swerve is a savage. Swerve is disrespectful. And Swerve is a dangerous man. That's the way Swerve has been thinking the last 6 months. So he recruited some people who think the same way. First, we got Top Dollar. Not Top Dollar, Top Dollar. He's the big guy in the group. The bucket hat. They call him that because he says, from the NFL to A&E to XXL to USA, I make Top Dollar every day. All right, so Top Dollar hits a freestyle. Now, that's either because Top Dollar raps in real life, or there's another reason that I wish it weren't. We're gonna get into this a little bit later. I looked up Top Dollar. His real name's AJ Francis. He was a nose tackle for a bunch of teams, kind of a journeyman in the NFL. He played a total of 9 games, 17 tackles, 3 solo, 14 assists, and no sacks. So again, just a journeyman. But that's no slight against him. I certainly could not make it in the NFL. But it's good to get an idea of who the person is behind it. He's a pretty good promo, though. They don't introduce the second guy, but what do you know, he raps too. I figured it out. It's Ashanti the Adonis, who did not rap before this. The woman in the group is B-Fab, because she B-Fab. You get it? And what do you know, she raps too. Now, here's the thing. B-Fab is a rapper. Now, I looked up B-Fab on YouTube. B-Fab has about 2,000 and change subscribers, has about 4 videos. Now, I am a big fan of rap music. I had not heard of, I think it's Brianna Bailey, Brianna something. I'm going to say this, B-Fab, not necessarily like a lyricist, but there's some talent there, I'll say. Their symbol is the downbeat of Pentagon Cero Miedo, or Zero Fear. Just like you make a circle with your index and your thumb, and then the other 3 fingers are out, and you just put that down. If you put that up, that's cero. Down, that's mierdo. That's zero fear. So they have half of Pentagon's thing. That's a really good look with a show that made you come to Tuesdays. Okay, here's the thing. So they rap, and that's odd because it's NXT, but they should be good. Here's the thing. Now, I know B-Fab raps. I don't know if Ashanti the Adonis raps, and I don't know if Top Dollar raps. If all these people rap, I know Swerve does, then that's one thing. But if they don't, and they, or even if they do, and they decided the best way to introduce these folks was to have everybody rap, it's always weird to me when, like, white dude decision makers decide that the best way to present black people is the hit group, and they rap. Now, if this was Ashanti the Adonis, Top Dollar, Swerve, and B-Fab's, like, idea, and they're excited about it, more power to them, sincerely. But if it was, like, it's really hard to imagine, like, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, and Road Dogg all just, like, in a room being like, you know what they should do? They should rap. That always makes me uncomfortable. So, all I could say is, like, I hope that they don't have to rap every single time we see them, because Top Dollar had a good promo before he was rapping. The rapping was not, like, bad. It's just always weird to me when, hey, there's, and especially in wrestling, when it's like, hey, there's black people, and so it's either gonna be that you're like the New Day, which is cool, or you're like a Ugandan, or you rap, or you're called Crime Time and you commit crimes. It's, do you see why that's weird? You see why that's weird to me? You see why, like, with WWE's history, I'm preemptively uncomfortable with this as the setup? But it's an interesting group, and I hope that they do stuff with them. We cut to earlier. There's an auction today. It took me longer than it should have to figure out what this was. There's an auctioneer in front. It's a lakefront home being sold. I think it was 8 bedrooms, 6 bathrooms, lake views. I don't know why I wrote this down, but I did because I want you to have a whole picture. I'm going to save you some time. Cameron Grime gets out of the car. He's late, but he wants the house. It's $2 million at first, and he says, yeah, just do that. At first, I thought it was other NXT superstars in the crowd. It's not. It's just random people. One of the dudes from the back looks like Dexter Lumis, and so I got fixated on that. I was like, why is Dexter Lumis here? Why does he need a house? Does Dexter Lumis have money? The bid gets up to about $8 million. There's somebody else bidding who you can't see. It took me like until $9 or $10 million to figure out what was going on. At the last minute, the mystery person just bids $20 million. Cameron Grimes says, this house isn't worth that. I'm out. They reveal then that when he bets $20 million, that it's Ted DiBiase again. And Cameron Grimes is basically, why are you doing this to me? Ted DiBiase says, I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. Everybody has a price for the $1 million man. But you, Cameron Grimes, you are no $1 million man. So these vignettes don't have like a point, but they're fun, and it's fun to see Ted DiBiase. Like, Ted DiBiase isn't going to probably wrestle Cameron Grimes, I would not think. But it's fun to see Ted DiBiase around. Cameron Grimes' character basically is Ted DiBiase, just a rich dude who flexes his money. So it makes some sense to have these little segments. That way Cameron Grimes can still be on TV, but he doesn't have to necessarily wrestle every week. I don't know if he's like good to go in the ring or if they just want to build up this character some more, but this is a pretty good way to do it. Eventually, I'm going to want to, you know, just see him in a match, but this is fine. I'm fine with building up characters. Not everything has to have an immediately perceptible point, or like not every segment has to lead to a story like that. These interactions with Johnny Gargano and William Regal aren't going to lead to Johnny and William in a match, but they're fun. They add something to the show. They add something to both characters. This segment, excuse me, did the same thing. This builds up Cameron Grimes. You're reminded of Ted DiBiase. You see that he's still doing well, and it's just fun. So I'm fine with it. Kyle O'Reilly's in the ring. He's finishing his entrance. Oney Lorcan is already in the ring. Pete Dunne is at ringside, and I, at first, was questioning why Pete Dunne was at ringside, and then I remembered that him and Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch were in a group together. You're going to remember that that was Pat McAfee's group, they had some real long-winded promos, but they were really fun to watch. They took on the Undisputed Era, and then for some reason, Pat McAfee disappeared, and then Pete Dunne was the leader for a couple weeks, and then it kind of fell apart, and then Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch were back by themselves, and then Danny Burch, I believe, got hurt, so they lost the titles. MSK won them, and now it's just kind of Oney Lorcan. I say all that to say that Pat McAfee group could have been fun, and now it's to such a point that I forgot that Pete Dunne was in that group with him, so he would be out there. They have a fun match here. Kyle hits that top rope knee to the back of the head and wins. I imagine that would really hurt, but also that would hurt Kyle because you're coming from the top rope down on your knees. I don't know if there's like a way to do that where you don't kill your knees, but I don't think there would be. So he gets the pin, and immediately Pete Dunne goes in to attack him, and him and Oney Lorcan beat Kyle down, and until, look who it is, Bobby Fish decided to show up this week. DJ on Twitter pointed this out to me. He's finally back because he knows how I feel about this. Now listen,
I'm not talking about the guy, like the actual person, but the character of Bobby Fish. There's a lot of PTO saved up because he just shows up whenever. I don't know if Bobby Fish in real life was hurt this whole time or if they didn't need him or what the hell, but it's super weird for Bobby Fish to not show up at any point while Undisputed Era, that he was kind of sort of a member of when he showed up, was falling apart and imploding, but then like he just randomly comes back at a later date. That's super weird. Again, that's the character, not the guy. They agree they aren't going to be a tag team. Fish says, I have business to take care of. I'll see you when I see you. I have no idea what they're going to do with Bobby Fish. Like, I haven't seen Bobby Fish as a single star in a long time. I don't know. The problem is he just gets hurt a lot, it seems. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic, but he's not necessarily, I don't know if this is fair or not, or if this is just the perception, but he's not reliable in terms of getting hurt. He gets hurt a lot. So I don't know what you do with that. But I don't know. Escobar's out next for the NXT Cruiserweight title match. A reminder, this is a 2 out of 3 falls match. So they go for a long time before that first fall. Escobar hits a Phantom Driver and he gets that first pin. Now, the first person to get 2 falls wins. Now, this is WWE, so it's going to be one person wins one, the other person wins one, and then you win the third one. That's fine. That's the most dramatic way to do a 2 out of 3 falls match. They go, again, a long, long time without a fall. I like it. It doesn't work as much for the ending, but the beginning without a first fall for a while adds some drama to it. I like it. Just let them work like a regular match, and then they have to speed up at the end. Kushida, of course, gets the arm lock. Is it called the hoverboard lock, I think? On, and Escobar has to tap out, so we are tied at 1. The next fall wins. Kushida very quickly is trying to keep that arm bar on, but then suplexes Escobar into the corner and then hits. I'm having trouble with this because the announcers didn't know what the move was, and I'm a little confused too. So, if you picture a Northern Lights suplex, which is a fisherman suplex, where you suplex somebody but you hold their leg so it goes from a suplex right into a pin. Kushida does that move, except he doesn't keep Escobar's leg locked. He basically had been working on Escobar's shoulder, so he just does the suplex and holds on for a pin. He does that. I'm sure that there's a name for that, but it's just a suplex into a pinning a suplex pinning combination, I guess. I feel like Michael Cole. But he hits that and he wins. That was a big time rush to a finish, but it was good. I wish that they had had even more time so that they didn't have to rush, because it seems as though they had all that time built in at the beginning, and so it was really good at building, and then those last 2 falls happened within 2 minutes of each other. But it was good. Kushida keeps the title. That's the right decision, and we end the show with him posing with that Cruiserweight title, and it's fantastic. So I don't know where Kushida goes from here. I don't know if he's happy being the Cruiserweight champion. I don't know. I think Escobar's going to be fine because he's really good. He can hopefully move on to better things. Maybe he can take that North American title from Johnny. But that's it for NXT, so that's about it for me. Remember, you can always follow me on Twitter at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and other fun stuff over there. Let me know what you thought of the show. We're getting Bronson Reed and Johnny in a steel cage match next week. We're getting an NXT title match in 2 weeks. Let me know what you think. You think we're going to get any new champions? I have a feeling we might get 1 or 2. Let me know what you think over there. But in the meantime, that's it for NXT. That's it for me. I have been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic, and thank you for listening.